representing their interests, or are they not represented today?
I'm sure we just serve a lot on the list, but anybody who is here has a right to be elected, and Mr. Keenan's always an active party, which is the only reason I called him. But everybody else, I just send notice, we are gonna proceed.
Okay, we are, and, okay.
Okay, beginning with the motion to approve compromise and settlement?
Yes, Your Honor, so.
Well, Your Honor, are we making appearances?
Sure.
Okay, and before I do that, I just wanted to know, are we having four hearings today? Because one of the motions you've got scheduled has four hearings.
We're gonna start with plaintiff's motion to approve compromise and settlement. Okay, Mr. Elliott, I recognize your appearance, I recognize Mr. O'Connell's, go ahead in the back.
Mary Lewis.
Thank you.
Ed Bernstein.
Deborah Bernstein.
Thank you, sir.
Cord Watcher.
All right. Okay, and no, I'm just, I've met you before, I'm not sure how, are you just observing?
I'm friend of him.
Oh, okay, that works for me, perfect. Okay, I just wanted to make sure you weren't a witness, no worries.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
So we're here today to approve the second half of the settlement agreement. You've already approved half of the agreement as it related to the Shirley Bernstein.
I recall.
And the reason we couldn't have it heard at the same time was because there were, in the Simon Bernstein Trust, there were different parties that needed to be heard, or that wanted to be involved, and there were some issues that was already taken care of by the settlement, which included who would represent the estate in litigation and settlement of the Illinois case, those were addressed by the beneficiaries in the settlement agreement, but those issues have been resolved independent of the settlement agreement. So we have an agreement that is solely among the 10 beneficiaries of the Simon Bernstein Trust. Those 10 beneficiaries are 10 trusts. The trustees of those trusts and the guardian ad litem, who is representing the interests of the three trusts for whom no trustee could be appointed, all signed a settlement agreement. And it only impacts the people inside the trust. So I don't believe that anyone else, doesn't really directly impact Mr. O'Connell as the PR, doesn't impact Mr. Stansberry, doesn't impact the assets of the estate, it doesn't impact Elliott Bernstein directly. And this all emanates, if you recall, from the trial we had before Judge Phillips, where he approved the documents as being valid. So I'd ask you to approve the settlement as the first step.
Okay. All right, Mr. O'Connell?
Your Honor, no objection in that we did participate in the mediation that gave rise to this agreement. I agree with Mr. Rhodes that there's some elements that would apply and some that don't. Like the aspects he's describing that were correct, they both directly and resolved myself at this point.
All right, moving on, Mr. Bernstein?
I object and like to call witnesses.
What purpose would you be calling witnesses?
Well, I want to clarify some of the issues.
Let's start with who do you intend to call?
I intend to call Ted Bernstein, Mr. Rhodes, and possibly Diane Lewis.
Regarding what?
Well, Mr. Rhodes regarding his pleading to clarify some issues that are here to be incorrect.
I don't think that that's appropriate.
Okay, Ted Bernstein can answer the question. So.
I don't see how you have standing to the settlement agreement.
Is this a Simon Bernstein case?
It is.
The state case?
But the settlement agreement is with regards to the trust, correct?
Correct. Oh, is that an inter vivos trust?
I have no idea whether it's inter vivos.
Well, that was one of the questions we need to address.
No, we don't. I'm good with it. Is there anything else you want to raise at this point?
Well, I'd like to bring up witnesses and have an opportunity to be heard.
I'm giving you an opportunity to be heard, but I'm not going to allow you.
Okay, well, I'd like to address some of the issues in this.
Go ahead.
I'll do that for the court.
We're dealing with the motion to approve compromise and settlement.
Okay. The Shirley Bernstein Trust Agreement is being discussed here, dated May 20th, 2008, which is 2 years prior to my mother's death. Therefore, this trust is a living trust, inter vivos, I believe is the legal correct term for it. And therefore, it's really a civil court case, not a probate court. You would not have jurisdiction of this court under the rules of probate. He's calling them testamentary trusts. throughout his pleadings, but they're not created under the will of Shirley Bernstein. So they are not testamentary trusts, technically, legally. They are inter vivos set up prior, funded prior to her death, and therefore this case should have been filed in the civil court, which it's bizarre that it wasn't, but as you know, the probate court doesn't have jurisdiction over civil trust cases.
Let me address point by point, would that be passed?
Sure.
Okay. So the trust at issue were created by the will and trust of Simon Bernstein upon his death. The trust says that upon his death, there will be 10 new trusts created. Those trusts will be the beneficiaries of his trust, and at the same time, he exercised a power of appointment over the assets in the Shirley Bernstein Trust to put them all into the 10 new testamentary trusts, which is why we've been here for the past 4 years litigating the issue.
Your Honor, again, use the word testamentary there, trusts, but he just said that the trusts are supposedly created under the Simon Bernstein Trust dated July 25th, 2012, which is while my dad was alive. He died 9/13/2012. So this again would be an inter vivos trust he's referring to, which therefore the court wouldn't have jurisdiction under Florida probate. And these trusts should have never been heard in the court. I've been pleading there for a while. Plus, here's my other question, Your Honor. He mentioned 10 trusts that were created. Again, the court is not in possession of those trusts, and neither am I, or my children. And we have been requesting, we've got counsel out in Texas requesting those trusts be produced. Mr. Rose is refusing. The guardian ad litem has refused. They were not produced at the validity hearings, and he is claiming they were created. I was sued under a trust, if you look at the Shirley Bernstein Trust we're dealing with, by Mr. Rose as trustee for the Simon Bernstein Trust dated 9/13/12. What he's talking about here, a 7/25/12 trust. Totally different. So I'm sued as a party, and that 9/13/12 trust has never been produced to this court. So he sued parties under that trust. Did you read the Shirley Bernstein Trust caption? And you can ask him if there is such a trust. That's why I wanted to put him on the stand, because these are critical issues to jurisdiction, if the trust actually exists. So there's supposed to be 10 grandchildren's trust, Your Honor. And he says in one of his pleadings that I've refused to be trustee. That's not true. I hired counsel in Texas for my family. She has requested those trusts repeatedly. He's refused. He's never produced them to the court. And, you know, with all this fraud that's occurred in the past, this appears to be a continuation of the prior frauds of the prior fiduciaries, and or the prior counsel of Ted Bernstein, who were resigned because they committed a lot of fraud. So Mr. Rose needs to produce, I guess, today to the court or to me or somebody, these 10 trusts. He claims they're created in his pleadings. So we should have copies of them here.
Mr. Rose, brief response?
Sure. The same type of the Shirley Bernstein Trust, Elliot Bernstein has no standing. You've already approved the settlement. It's been confirmed by the appellate court, and we're well beyond that. As far as the Simon Bernstein Trust, this is the document. It's the one that we tried before Judge Phillips. It's the Simon Bernstein amended and restated trust agreement. It's the only piece of paper that exists that creates these 10 trusts, but that's the piece of paper. The terms of the 10 trusts are set forth in this piece of paper. It's in the record of the court. It's already been validated by Judge Phillips in trial. And one of the things we're going to get to next is the terms of that and when you distribute the money. And
I want to move on to that.
Yeah.
Oh, Your Honor.
All right. And now we're done there. Okay, moving on to, assuming I was to approve the trust, assuming I was to approve the mediated settlement agreement, we come to an issue of the money.
Correct.
I'll let you proceed with argument in that regard.
Thank you. Okay. Issues in regard to that?
No, we're done with that. Okay, we're moving on.
What other issues?
Okay, but we're moving on. Next.
So with regard to the settlement among the 10 beneficiaries, especially in the Simon side, that there was no dispute that the money goes equally to the 10. There was actually a lawsuit to construe the Shirley Bernstein Trust. That's what got resolved with your prior approval.
I remember.
So that brings us to, where do we put the money
in the Shirley Bernstein Trust, and where do we put the money from the Illinois settlement, and where do we put the money, if there's ever any money that emanates from Mr. O'Connell's estate after he fully administers the estate, that'll go to the same 10 children trust. So what you already approved, and when you approved the prior settlement, you ordered us to try to find a replacement trustee. But that's the framework for where we are now. So in our motion, we indicated that Ted Bernstein was probably the only person who would be crazy enough, dumb enough, willing enough to serve as trustee of these trusts, given the history of the case. But he would only do it with the consent of Elliot and Candace Bernstein. That's in our papers. They won't consent to Ted. We've talked.
That's right.
We've talked to numerous people.
I check. Doesn't have to have some basis of fact in any of that.
Do you agree to Ted being the trustee?
I don't.
Well, let's move on. Then you don't have to object. We're done. We're done. We're done. That was the question. That was what you're objecting to, and you said you object. He said he objects, and you said I object. Doesn't he have legal basis? So I asked you, and you said I object. But I thought you told the court that previously.
Well, I was objecting to that he said I did not want to be trustee.
No, that was not what he said.
Oh, okay.
He said that you did not agree to Ted being trustee.
No, he said I wasn't going to be the trustee, so they picked Ted as trustee. He's saying that I'm supposed to be the trustee, right?
Let's move on.
Okay.
Let me tell you what the court's real clear on.
Okay.
You're not going to be trustee, and Ted's not going to be trustee.
Okay.
So we're moving on.
That's right.
Can I ask
that's not
a question, Your Honor? What
sure.
are the successor trustee provisions of this trust? You have to.
I don't need to go in. I don't have to answer your questions.
Okay,
I don't think
well,
you're. And no, I want him to complete his argument.
Okay.
Complete your argument.
Thank you. So,
I'd like to get through what they want me to do before you respond to why he's saying it wrong. So, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
We have the Shirley Bernstein money. We
so
have the, go ahead, the
we,
Ted money.
We have, ten,
Illinois.
We have 10 trusts that are created.
Yes.
By the Simon Bernstein amended and restated trust.
That's
seven of those trusts have a validly serving trustee and are not at issue.
Right.
There are three trusts that were for the benefit of the Simon Bernstein grandchildren who are the offspring of Elliot and Candace Bernstein.
Elliot's children.
Elliot's children. Okay. So within those three trusts, the document named Elliot as the trustee, but Judge Phillips has already determined that he cannot represent his children's interest and in effect removed him if he was willing to serve in any event. The guardian ad litem was appointed, and she has been protecting the interests of his three children in those trusts, and that's where we are. The guardian is not willing to serve any further, and certainly not going to serve as the trustee of trusts that are going to continue for somewhere between 10 and however many years out into the future, because the trusts are designed to terminate. They can be terminated when the assets are below $50,000. They will terminate at age 35. Each of the three children. So it's a long-term assignment. I've talked to a number of, we've solicited advice from Candace and Elliot Bernstein as we were directed to multiple times. We've received no feedback as to who would be an appropriate trustee or any interest in resolving this. And that's not really an issue. So looking at where we are, and there is a little bit of history that directly relates to the appointment of Diana Lewis. She was appointed to handle two matters, these things, and a separate trust that were being administered by Oppenheimer. And Judge Phillips heard the two guardian ad litem motions at the same time. With the Oppenheimer, there were three trusts. They were the trustee. They had used the money for education and things, and then they got involved in like a two-year battle to get out as trustee. And spent tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars to be removed as trustee from these trusts. So there's nobody in the world, in our view, and we've talk to various people that might be willing to serve in some capacity. There's no one that's ever going to serve as trustee of these three trusts. So what, in consultation with the guardian ad litem, what we propose is to put the money into the registry of the court. Now the advantage of that, we still have the terms of the settlement. We have the terms of the trust. I've actually attached it to our proposed order. But the terms of the trust establish trust for the beneficiaries, and the express terms of Simon Bernstein's trust tell us what the money can be used for.
I have a question, because you said in the proposed order, upon each child reaching the age of 30, and you just said 35.
And our proposal was 30, only because of the length of time.
you're asking to change the term of the trust.
Not necess, well, I prefer not to be laughed at in court.
That's inappropriate.
I'm not laughing now, I'm just laughing.
It's still inappropriate.
Okay.
Well, we'll do whatever your honor wants. I'm gonna explain to you our thought process. So it's a burden on the court. It's a burden on the clerk of the court.
Huge.
So what I had proposed was 25, which is the first, at 25, according to the terms, each child is entitled to take out one-third of the principal. And then at 30, they're entitled to take out an additional one-third of the principal, and then at age 35, they can have all of it. So 30 was a compromise, but I'm fine doing 25, 30, or 35. But there is a provision that I'm not asking to modify the trust entirely, because there is a provision of the trust for small trusts. And when you get below $50,000, there's a provision that allows the trustee to just terminate it, because it's a small trust, and the cost of administering a $50,000 trust. These trusts are, I don't know if they're going to end up with 50 to start with, or 80, or 100. It depends upon, you know, how things turn out in the estate of Simon Bernstein. But
I see what you're saying. So what you're saying is, it goes perfectly with the trust. The clerk can do it. But say at 30, rather than waiting to 35.
If they want the money, the children come in and apply for the money. Or we can just leave it at 35.
I would leave it at the 80.
That's fine. So my word needs to be modified to do that. And then what I've done, and that approaches with my proposed order, just so you can see where I'm headed.
Unless you changed it, you sent it to me.
Oh, then, no, I didn't change it. But it had attached the relevant pages so that there'd be no confusion.
That's why I was just, that's what you're looking, and that's why I was asking.
And so, for example, needs, the money
and
can be.
And you highlighted it for the court if I was to allow it to go in.
I did. And so all the money goes for welfare, but welfare is defined fairly broadly as health, education, maintenance, and support. And then there's further definition of education, what constitutes proper education, what constitutes proper needs, and what constitutes proper welfare.
So you're
I'm not making the clerk do anything. What I'm suggesting is the money's going to sit in the registry of the court. The only people that could show up are the three children to ask for money. And if they do, they would file a motion, have a hearing, and if your honor approved the money,
then the clerk.
The clerk
so they would still go through me each time they wanted the money.
Right. The clerk's doing nothing but the ministerial act of holding the funds, because and it's in our favor, because I mean, you cannot be sued and the clerk cannot be sued, and anyone else that touches these money is going to get sued by somebody or be involved in some lengthy piece of litigation. And the other alternative is just to give the money to the kids outright now, because it's totally impractical to have money held in the trust with, you know, given who their parents are and how they've litigated this case.
If I was to allow it to go into a clerk registry, we need more than what's proposed in this order. We need the history of why. I want to hear from the guardian ad litem, because it seems like that was part of the discussion. In other words, you're telling me nobody will take it, but I want to know what efforts were made to contact an independent trustee, is my thought process.
And then the third issue we have for today, once you get past that, if we get that far, is discharge the guardian.
Of course.
Okay, so that's...
All right, so let's hear from the guardian ad litem.
One other thing, if I just for history, for...
Yes.
We did ask Candace and Ellie multiple times if they had any, if there were any family members other than them, or anyone they could suggest or recommend, at least to be considered. And it's been going on for months and months, and 6 months or a year, and we've heard nothing. So that's what brought us to where we are today, and we propose this is the only workable solution.
I'm going to hear from the guardian ad litem.
Okay.
And then we're going to hear from them.
Okay.
Okay. Come on up, sir.
Your Honor, not only did Mr. Ted Bernstein contact through his attorney or however to ask who else could serve as a trustee, I'm not willing to do it.
Can I put you under oath just so that it's all so you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Go ahead. So you're not willing to serve?
I'm not willing to serve. It's been a trying case. But the bottom line is, we even asked the children through a letter from their uncle to identify someone that would be a trustee. And from what we know of now, the proceeds are not enough to get a corporate trustee. In other words, no bank is going to take it, no trust officer is going to take it. they're too small of trusts, at least in my experience, okay? So the bottom line is, what was the alternative, since we didn't have the name of a person, or anybody offering to come up and be the trustee? And that seemed to be the only alternative. Then the children could come in and ask for relief from the court, and the court would then identify those funds to be distributed accordingly through the clerk's office. So that's been the bottom line. It's been very frustrating to understand and know that the children's assets could be dissipated by the parents. Any other questions by the board?
What if I didn't take testimony on the time? Do you see what I'm saying? Did you have a timesheet?
We did a notice of filing in the timesheet. If you don't have it, I thought it was done. Okay.
I'm sure it was sent to JA. What,
to whoever. Okay. Hold on.
You have a copy of your own?
Yeah.
And do you have a copy from Australia?
We served it.
Do you have a copy today from Australia? Because I want to take one that I'll review as evidence.
Okay.
Are you asking the court to take this into evidence?
Your Honor, I'll give Mr. Burns my copy.
Thank you.
I got a copy of it.
All
this
right.
Is the one you filed?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and since that time, Mr. Bernstein filed a number of motions last week for the emergency and urgent motion that came across the email that is not accounted for in there. And then today's time for the hearing, et cetera, I put to be determined. But there are a number of entries in there where I gave it as professional courtesy, and if a time entry says plus near it, it's because it took me more time than that. But I didn't put it on the children's timesheets because I got very frustrated by the fact that. There were so many pleadings coming in and voluminous pleadings. So when you review it, and Judge, when I took this case on, when I heard the background on it, I said to the attorney that contacted me that normally my fee is $350 an hour, but I'm not going to charge that for this because I understood the trust to be small and it really wasn't fair to the children. So whatever you decide is fair to me. I have no problem with it. So
your normal rate would be $350 an hour?
Yes.
And just, I don't think it's appropriate, even though I know your background from formerly serving, I think it's appropriate just to give you a brief, just to put on the record briefly how many years of experience you have in probate. And
I don't remember. It was probably two to two and a half is what I'm guessing. It's when Judge Cook retired, I took over his division.
Okay, as a probate judge.
Right.
In your prior practice?
I was 20 years a trial lawyer, 12 years as a circuit court judge. And my last serving was in the probate foreclosure division. Right.
Okay, and your normal rate,
I'm willing to cut it to whatever you think deem appropriate, given the background on this case, et cetera, because I don't think it's fair to say.
All right. Okay, objections to the time going into evidence?
No evidence.
In evidence?
Judge, I also mentioned that I didn't charge on quarter hours. I charged per minute.
I saw that. I will review it thoroughly in my chambers.
And Your Honor, I do object that to going in because it does have no dollar amounts to it. It's in four cases, and that's the part that scares me. Are we hearing four cases here today? If you look at the front of it, it's teed up for four cases. Are we hearing those cases? Because you only noticed me of two. on your order, so.
No, this is specifically with related to her service, related to the Ted Bernstein as trustee of, she has, I see what you're saying, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
This is her time. Let me ask you, how am I to divide this? That's a good question.
I'm the one who was there when it happened, so.
Please.
There were no assets in the Oppenheimer Trust. They were dissipated all to nothing. I mean, it's probably beyond the court's interest, but there were some little remaining assets that Oppenheimer was gonna take as a fee, and the guardian had recommended that they, rather than take it as a fee, they pay it for the taxes for the house that the children live in, which is pretty good benefit to them. But when the guardian was appointed by Judge Phillips in the Oppenheimer and in these matters, it was with the agreement that she would be paid from the assets in these trusts, because there was no funds in the other trusts. That's why I think her time entries that she recorded would have been that way. If it was the other way, she would have probably been entitled to the $6,000 from the Oppenheimer Trust. So I think the answer is all the same.
So my question is, should it be refiled? Because this appears that it's being entered into those other cases, and we're not having hearings for those.
I think it was only filed in one case.
It was filed in this case. And to be specific, the 12CP4391.
It's also filed in the William Stansberry case in civil court.
It can be filed in all cases.
Okay, but we're not hearing those today. I mean, is it going to be entered into all four cases?
I'm deciding whether.
Okay.
If I'm understanding, Mr. Rhodes, you're asking that fees be paid out of the 12CP4391.
Well, it's actually filed in. The funds where there's assets are in the Shirley Bernstein Trust, which is the top caption of our notice of filing is the Ted Bernstein versus the beneficiaries of the Shirley Bernstein Trust.
It would be paid out of the assets of the trust for the children.
Right.
That is not, the amount has not been defined yet.
And I object to going in on those grounds.
Overruled us to that objection. Your point is valid as to where the money is going to come from, but it's going in evidence.
Well, all the money, there are three pots of money that eventually would be now available to these children as a result of. There is going to be money in the Shirley Bernstein Trust. That's the top caption case, which is 2014-3698. That's money that's going to be distributed. We obviously need to get a place to put the money. And that is the primary place. The secondary place is now coming out of Illinois because Elliot Bernstein rejected his share of it, pursuant to the terms of the settlement agreement in Illinois, which has been approved by the court. Those funds are going to go equal 1/3 to his three children. And then ultimately there's a third potential place, which is from the Simon Bernstein estate. If there's actually a distribution to the Simon Bernstein Trust, then that money gets split 10 ways to the children.
I understand. So actually the guardian ad litem's fees are being paid from the children's money. Right now you can't specify exactly what dollar amount's coming from which, but what we're asking the court to do today is enter an entitlement for her to receive funds from the children's monies, which are coming out of three different pockets.
Correct, and that was when we had the guardian appointed, that was the provision. All 10 grandchildren have borne all the legal fees and all the craziness that's happened. But the guardian, it was directed to be paid from the share that would be paid to those three children, equally, 1/3 each child. And there is gonna be sufficient funds from the 3698 case to pay the guardian before we pay the rest of the money.
What I would want you to do is amend your proposed order to reflect Ms. Lewis's testimony regarding the reasons. You'll be allowed to ask questions to Ms. Lewis in a second. To the what she testified to when she came onto the case, that she, in the interest of not punishing the children, was willing to take a reduced rate. She's been specific in her time entries while she has not included some because of the voluminous onslaught of pleadings. That it is her opinion, based on the history of this case, and based on her history as she set forth to the court of being 12 years as a circuit court judge, 20 years in private practice, the last 2 to 2.5 years of her service as a circuit court judge in the probate division, that no corporate trustee would accept this because of the small nature of the funds. Despite attempts, no proposed acceptable trustee has been put forth by the parties.
I have, excuse me, Your Honor.
No?
I have put forth.
I'm dictating. I will hear from you.
Okay.
And then I'll let you respond.
Okay.
But I want that to be all put forth, and then that the court took into evidence over objection the guardian ad litem's timesheets and awards this much as reasonable hours, this much at this hourly rate, and I'll do the calculation once I add everything. Were there costs that I didn't see?
There are costs. It was the travel time.
The travel time at the end.
Normally I charge travel time in the hourly rate, but on this occasion I just gave the actual rate that is allowed for by the IRS, and it changed while I was appointed.
Okay.
And I set
you
forth.
Calculated that.
Yeah, I set forth that.
You did. All right. But you can leave that portion blank now. Mr. Elliott, first, who did you propose?
As I stated to the court, our family attorney contacted Mr. Rose and asked him to send over the trust so we could appoint the trustee. She's
who is the name you proposed?
Candace Schwaker. And she was willing to, but she wants to see the terms of these pet trusts or the three for my kids that are created. And my children contacted Diana Lewis and asked her to send Candace Schwaker the trust so she could review them and either find a trustee corporate, which she might be able to have, or appoint herself. She's an attorney, legally licensed.
Where?
Or in Texas. Or find someone in our family, such as Candace's mother, etc., who's qualified and approved by the court. And all we have been asking for is copies of the trust. You keep saying they're created and there's 10 trusts. They've never been entered into this court.
Your Honor, I know.
And there's EIN numbers for them, in fact, which I've reported to the IRS as fraud, because the IRS better have.
All right, my question, I want Ms. Lewis to respond to.
I've never been contacted or told that Candace Schrader was someone that could be considered.
Your Honor, in the letter that Mr. Rose is filing contempt for that were written by my children.
Do you have anything, her letterhead, anything like that?
Yeah, when it's her.
Right now. I don't want to hear what. Do you have a card, a business card? Yes.
Oh, my wife's looking.
Let's just pause a second.
On 12/15, she put in a pro hac vitae to try to get in for the validity here. Oh, here. You got it.
That's of 15. Morning of the trial that we had before Judge Phillips, she was trying to appear for Elliot Bernstein as his counsel to stop the thing
and to
seek a continuance. And she's
so. So the attorney that you've proposed is an attorney out of Texas.
She was going to also look to see if there's somebody in Florida that we could retain. If there's corporate, she knows some people, and you know. She might be entering in this case almost momentarily pro hac, or I think she's found me some counsel, Florida counsel, as well. And I was going to ask for a stay based on that because the children need to be represented here by counsel. What?
All right, this is from December 2015. Do you have anything?
Yeah, we have more recent here from October 18th letter.
I got it. That one.
To Alan Rose.
Return this one to thank you very much.
And then, Your Honor.
Okay, please be quiet one second.
Oh, sorry. What? Right, exactly. She's been trying to get those trusts since 2015. Multiple letters have gone out.
It's interesting. It's interesting the way it's
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, first of all, we have.
No, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
I wanna hear Mr. Rose's response.
We really don't care who serves as trustee, because it's not, once the money's funding the trust, it's for the benefit of these children.
I've never seen.
Ms. Schwager, though, is, first of all, if she's a lawyer and she doesn't know where the terms of the trust are set forth, which they're clearly set forth in the Simon Bernstein amended and restated trust agreement from July 25th, 2012. I might understand Elliot Bernstein for, you know, for the past 5 years not understanding what document created these trusts.